The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Such good words. And just a reminder for me how I just kind of had been away from there too long. So I'm glad we're back. We're going to get there in just a moment. I want to welcome those that are joining us online. Thank you so much for inviting us into your home or wherever you are. Hopefully it's not in the car. We wouldn't want you watching the car. And also those that are on our Westside campus as well. And we are actually on the third week of our series on the 23rd Psalm called Even Though. And that's where King David, who wrote this beloved psalm, provides this image of God as really a shepherd who cares for his sheep, who loves his sheep, who knows his sheep. Now, as you might imagine, I've had very little experience with sheep, just haven't been around them that much. You probably haven't either. Although growing up, I had an uncle who had a dryland wheat farm up in Berthoud, Colorado, and sometimes he would allow sheep to be brought in to graze on his winter wheat. And all I remember is that they couldn't leave those sheep alone. They either had to have a shepherd or a sheep herder that was there all the time, which is kind of a good image of what sheep are like. Now, although I don't have really much experience with sheep, some of you are going to be sad today, I do have a lot of experience with sheep puns. And so I got four of them. I think they're pretty good. They're going to go pretty fast, so you're going to have to listen carefully, and then we'll be done, okay? I promise with that. I have experience with sheep puns, enough so that when we talk about sheep, I recognize already that many of you think it's all about you. Don't worry, though, in this series, I'm not going to try to pull the wool over your eyes or ram anything down your throat. I'm just hoping that many people will flock to our services to hear these messages. Okay, that's it. That's done. I would say that after the service, if you'd like to hear some chicken puns, I've got some other good animals there. I just wanted to start there for a moment just to get a chuckle or two, because honestly, that's all the fun we really get to have, I get to have today. Because as we again explore the 23rd Psalm today, we're going to look at the portion of it that reveals the grim reality that there may be some dark valleys that we have to walk through in our spiritual pilgrimage. And I'll be honest, I've shed a lot of tears preparing this message, and so I need to warn you that there could be some tears when I deliver it already. I've been there to other services. But let's be honest, folks. COVID has been hard. But if you think it's been hard for us, just to give us a little perspective on this season for us, I'd like you to think about anyone who was born in 1900. If you were born in 1900, on your 14th birthday, World War I starts. And then it ends on your 18th birthday. 22 million people die in that war. Later that year, a Spanish flu epidemic would hit and run until your 20th birthday. And 50 million people would die in those 2 years. Then on your 29th birthday, the Great Depression begins. And unemployment hits about 25%, and the country nearly collapses along with the world economy. And that runs until you're 33 years old. And then, as you turn 39, World War II begins. And on your 41st birthday, the United States is finally pulled into the war. And between your 39th and your 45th birthday, 75 million people are going to die in that war. Smallpox during this time is an epidemic until you're in your 40s, and it kills some 300 million people during your lifetime. Around 50, the Korean War begins. 5 million people are going to perish in that. From your birth until you're about 55 years old, you've had to live with the fear of a polio epidemic each summer. and you experience friends and family members contracting polio and either being paralyzed or literally dying. Then at 55, the Vietnam War begins and doesn't end for 20 years. 4 million people will die in that conflict. That, of course, is followed by the Cold War. And on your 62nd birthday, we experience the Cuba Missile Crisis, a tipping point in the Cold War. And you literally live each day with the fear of nuclear annihilation. If nothing else from today, you can just say, I'm glad I wasn't born in 1900. That was amazing what they had to go through. But we're living where we are now, and we're starting off 2022 at this series because I think most of us, foremost of us, this past year, 2 years, haven't been easy. There have been challenges that we have literally never faced before or experienced, and unlike any other season, at least in our lifetime. And we've watched as there's been political unrest and social unrest and racial unrest and medical unrest and economic unrest. And we've had to put up with all too many times words like, you know, unprecedented and new normal. And I think in the midst of all this change and uncertainty, we desperately could use some perspective. And that's why we've come to the 23rd Psalm, because I believe the 23rd Psalm provides three perspective-changing viewpoints if we can just hang on to them. Last week we looked at the first one, which is that even though I don't have everything I want, when God is my shepherd, I know that I have everything that I need. Today we're going to look at the second one. Even though life may appear overwhelming, and it will sometimes, God's presence is permanent. I never have to wonder if God is with me. And then next week we're going to look at that third one. Even though there will be challenges to go through, I know I have something to go to, and that can make all the difference. And just as we've done each week, I'd like us, if we could, just to read together aloud the 23rd Psalm, the verse that we're going to be looking at today. And so we're going to be reading verse 4. And like we did last week, I'd like to ask you to stand just in honor of God's word as we read it together. Some of you are probably going to be able to actually say it from memory, but we'll read it together aloud, and then I'd like to pray as we get started. You ready? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's pray. Father, I'm just imagining that there are some people in the room here today that are living in a pretty dark valley right now. And they're wondering where you are and where you've been and what to do next and where to go. So I pray that in our time together this morning, you would help them and help all of us be ready for those dark valleys that will come our way, and that we would be able to trust you as our shepherd to lead and guide us in those seasons. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can go ahead and be seated. As we get to verse 4 today, I just think it's kind of interesting that just last week, we read how our shepherd God can take such good care of us. How he makes us lie down in green pastures, how he leads us beside quiet waters. But suddenly we're talking about him allowing us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I kind of wonder, what is up with that? Well, isn't it really kind of that's how life happens? Life can seem to be going on, it's all okay, and then all of a sudden it takes a hard turn into one of those dark valleys. If you haven't lived there yet, I guarantee you, you will. And dark valleys or valleys of the shadow of death aren't really a place that any of us want to be, but we will all find ourselves at one time or another in that place. And valleys, as it mentions, often seem very dark, but we have to remember what may seem dark to us doesn't seem dark to God at all. Even when it comes to death, as David says, he describes it as a valley of a shadow. It's just a shadow of death, because we know that death is not an end for the life of a believer. Christ has turned death into a doorway. And when we die in Christ, we leave this life to enter into a better, more beautiful, never-ending life. But even though death is a defeated enemy, it's still an enemy because it often robs us of the people that we love and know. And some of you have been living with that in this last season. And I just want to encourage you, when you're walking through that valley of the shadow of death, when you need to grieve, you need to allow yourself to grieve. Sometimes we don't want to do that. And that's because grief isn't something that you ever really get over. It's just something that you learn to live with. And if you're struggling with that today, I just want to let you know we have an excellent resource coming up on Monday the 31st. We're going to start a 12-week course called Grief Share. And we've got a couple of excellent people that will be helping others walk through that journey of grief so they can get to a healthy place. And if you, that would be a help to you because of a grief you've experienced, I'd encourage you to check out our website or our app and be able to find more information about that. But today, as we kind of absorb the reality of that fourth verse in Psalm 23, I'd actually like to make three observations and then provide three recommendations to you as we look at this verse. And I'm going to call these observations at first valley walking observations. They're things we need to be aware of when we're walking through the valley. And the first observation I would want to make is this: God never promised us a life without valleys. That was never anything that God has said to us, that we get to live a life where there are no valleys. And that's important for all of us to know because expectations oftentimes determine our emotions. And so if we're expecting that or we're thinking that's coming, we're going to have a hard time when it arrives. There are some people that think that believing in God entitles them to a problem-free life. And if they have any problems, they think that must mean that they don't have enough faith or something. But you know, the Bible actually contradicts that idea. Jesus actually contradicts that idea. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 33? He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have trouble in this world. You can expect trouble in this world. Now, aren't you glad also that he didn't stop there, that he actually carried it on a little bit? Because he goes on and say, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that take heart is an invitation for us to rest in the one place where we can truly find rest, and that is in the Lord. And so when Jesus tells us to take heart, it means that we should be encouraged, we should have hope, we should be bold, confident, we should not give up. We should have courage and we should cheer up. I think that's what Peter was getting at when he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1. He was talking about the joy that they had. He said, even though for a little while now you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, God never promised us a life without valleys. Well, that brings us to the second observation. And the second observation I'd want to make would be this. Sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. I mean, sometimes, I don't know if you've seen it before, I have, where God kind of moves in, and this rough place that you're going through, God just kind of takes it away and removes it. And that's what I would really want him to do most all of the time, just come in and calm the storm. But sometimes he decides he's going to let the storm rage and he's actually going to calm his child. And whether it's a valley or a storm, most of us would like God to simply take it away. But the reason David mentioned walking through a valley is because sometimes there's no getting out of it. You just have to walk through that valley and God will be with you. And so when believers go through those valleys, what we recognize based on what David and so many other places the Bible says, we don't go through them alone. The Lord goes with them through them with us. He's our faithful companion whenever we're in the valleys. And as David said, he said, I'm not going to fear any evil, God, because I know that you are with me. It's interesting. The prophet Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God, said something very similar in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they're not going to sweep over you. You know why? Because I will be with you in the midst of that. And then the third observation I would want to make would be this. You know that you have faith when it doesn't make sense, but you still choose to believe. I think sometimes we have kind of a misunderstanding of what really faith looks like. And we think faith looks like this person who, you know, it doesn't have any doubts or isn't wondering what's going to happen. And I think the only time you really know you have faith is when it feels like you don't have any and you keep on believing. But that's really the nature of faith. We know that because in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Notice it's confidence in what we hope for, not what we have. And then he says, it's assurance about what we do not see. We'd love to have it, but we can't even see it. And the challenge is that painful trials, dark valleys, are fertile ground if we're not careful, for the seeds of doubt to grow in our lives. And that's common to so many, wondering where God is in the midst of their trials. In fact, we have to be careful because suffering often causes us to doubt our beliefs and then start to believe our doubts. And so you just have to be careful who and what you're listening to when you're in those difficult times. But when life, I want to encourage you, when life feels overwhelming, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. But we often wonder, God, where are you in our suffering? He can often seem strangely silent. And when your situation doesn't improve or change immediately, it can become even more discouraging. And that's why we need to hear from God what he says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. He says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And so even though life may appear overwhelming, God's presence is permanent. So those are some observations. Now I'd like to provide you with what I would call valley walking recommendations. Here's some things that I would encourage you. I have three things that I would encourage you to do whenever you find yourself in one of those dark valleys. And the first thing I would encourage you to do is this. You question. Now, I don't imagine that many of you thought that that's where I was going to start. Yeah, you question? Really, you question? Did you know that it's actually okay for us to question, even question God? And I'm just putting that out there on the table because I know you're going to do it anyway. And the reason I know you're going to do it is because I do it myself. I have those very same questions. And of course, we have to recognize God can handle our questions because he's already aware of what's going on in our minds, what we're even thinking about. And you know that two of the most oft-asked questions when we're in the valley of the shadow of death is why? Why me? Why did this have to happen? Why is it going on? And then how long? How long is this going to last? It seems like it's been going on forever. And I look at that and I think, you know, I'm pretty sure that God gave us kids to help us understand what it's like for him. Because we do that as his kids. If you've had kids at all, you know they're questioning all the time. Why? How long? If they're in the car, how long? But the same David that wrote Psalm 23 also wrote a lot of other psalms where he questions. For example, how about Psalm 10, verse 1? And there David says, why, Lord, do you stand afar off? Seems like you've just kind of left me here all alone. In fact, it seems like you're hiding from me. Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? He asks the question. And then we jump over to Psalm 22, and in Psalm 22, he says, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Do you recognize any of those words in that verse? Isn't it interesting that Psalm 22 begins with the question that Jesus would later ask from the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Well, you know, why questions are what often leads to the how long questions, and there's plenty of those in the Psalms as well. Psalm 13, verse 1 says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? It seems like I've been stuck in this spot. How long will you hide your face from me? And what I would just want to encourage you today is that you're probably closer to God when you question than when you think you have all the answers. That's why we never see God reprimanding David, because you're asking too many questions or nothing, you know, that's really helpful. Because sometimes we think we've got all the answers and we don't recognize how much we really need God. And our challenge will always be trusting God's presence, his protection, his provision, when it doesn't seem to be tangibly evident or immediate. And that leads me to the second recommendation, because when you find yourself there, you question first, and then number two, you pray. And I'd encourage you to get him in that order first, because if you question first, you're going to do a lot better at really knowing how you need to be praying in that moment. Now, when I say that, you question and then you pray, when you're frustrated with God, you may not actually feel like talking to him because you're kind of upset with what he's allowed in your life. But I want to remind you that prayer should always be your first response rather than your last resort. And so that's what David did in Psalm 34:4. He said, I sought the Lord. And he answered me. That's how we know he was praying there. He answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Many of you, if you've been a Christian for very long or a Christ follower, you'd be aware of where Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, a verse that we should probably commit to memory if we're going to stick around following Christ for a long time, because we get anxious about stuff. And it says right away that we after we question, we pray. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I realize when I say that, some of you are going to be sitting there and you're going to say, well, you know, Brian, I pray, but I don't think I experience the peace that's described here. And all I would say is, well, maybe it's because you actually need to take one step further. And that brings us to the third recommendation. And that is that you surrender. You surrender. And when I say surrender, surrender has to do with remembering that God is God and you are not. And so you surrender to his plan and to his will rather than your own. It's called trusting God. And we often can get stuck in the whys of life. And so instead of trusting God, we accuse him and demand a better life. That's why we got to recognize with God, trust is a must. It's a must. You know why? Because there will be times, I guarantee you, when you don't understand and when you can't see his hand, and you'll have to trust his heart. I think it's interesting, Jesus borrowed David's words from Psalm 22 when he asked that question, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then even Jesus on the cross actually surrendered and trusted. And we know that because he eventually prayed to the Father. Do you remember? Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I am surrendering to you. That's probably why Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, he, Christ, entrusted himself, surrendered himself to him who judges justly. And you'll probably need to remember to that surrender prayer as well. There'll be times when you'll finally just have to say, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Because what we need to recognize is that trust in God does not mean that you believe everything that will go your way that you want. And then it does. If that were true, those who follow God would be the most enviable people on earth. Everything, they would go their way, but obviously it doesn't. And they aren't. And the reason we know that is because there are living in some parts of the world today people who are being martyred for their faith. And these are good people. They've done nothing wrong other than followers of Christ. Others lose their jobs or their livelihoods because they are Christ followers. And others are mocked and belittled as well. But trust in God does mean that no matter what happens, you'll turn to him instead of away from him. And that's what really matters the most. Trusting God means that you're going to turn to him instead of away from him. See, our shepherd, God, knows what's best for us, but his ways are not our own. And so when your pathway grows dim and you just can't see him, you've got to remember then that you're never alone. Because God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. And so when you don't understand and you can't see his plan, when you can't trust his hand, you're going to probably have to trust God's heart. And that's what's so powerful about so many of the Psalms that we read. It's one of the reasons why I would just encourage you personally to read like a psalm a day. That's what I've done for years in my personal devotions. Start at one, read to 150, and then go back and start over. And what you'll discover when you read through Psalms that many of the psalmists start with questions and end up with surrender and trust. Let me give you an example of that. In Psalm 13 that we looked at earlier, there was the question, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And then just five short verses later, here's what he was saying. Ah, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I think I've shared with you in this series that 2021 was a very painful year for me personally in a lot of ways. And I realize that for so many of you, it's been a painful year as well. There's been a lot of heartache and difficulties, and some of you maybe have lost someone that you love. In 2021, I lost two of my closest friends. They died of cancer. And another good friend of mine recently lost, back in December, his 37-year-old son to complications from COVID. And this is as real as dark valleys get. I want to show you a picture of Jacob Donato and his wife, Erin, and their four kids, ages 10 to 2. In December, Frank shared their valley from his perspective, and here's what he shared. As most of you know, our son Jacob got COVID a couple of weeks ago. This past week, while in the hospital, he fell unresponsive and stopped breathing for several minutes. The medical staff revived him, but he remained unconscious. He was life flighted to Columbia, Missouri, and the medical staff there ran a barrage of tests and concluded that Jake's brain had sustained too much damage due to a lack of oxygen. On Saturday, the team shared the news that nothing more could be done. Jake was not going to be coming back to us. We spent that day as a family, saying our goodbyes, praying and worshiping together. And on Sunday afternoon, with Erin by his side, Jake was rescued to heaven and home. We had prayed for a miracle for Jake. And in God's providence, he is giving miracles to several families this Christmas season because Jake signed up to be a donor. So while we are shattered with grief, we are not without hope. Our faith in Jesus is strong, and as our family leans in, we are experiencing a peace from God that we cannot explain. Please continue to keep our family in your prayers, especially Erin and their four children. I knew Frank, worked with him on a church staff, knew his son Jake. And I couldn't imagine the devastation that he was going through losing his son. But I saw how he was acknowledging that God was walking with him through the valley of the shadow of death. And then Erin, here's what Erin herself wrote. She says, "I'm overwhelmed by the swiftness with which people got on their knees to pray for my husband. God has done and will continue to do amazing things because of faith and trust that believers have demonstrated. I can't explain how I'm feeling right now because I don't understand it. I should be hysterical and crying nonstop, but I'm not. Instead, I feel like I'm with Jesus, with a swirling storm around me, but I'm calm with no fear or trembling because I am safe with him, as is my sweet, caring, genuine, loving, joyful husband. We're just in two different places. He's in heaven right now laughing and carrying on with Jesus, running from mansion to mansion, telling God what a great job he did, in no more pain or sorrow, while I'm still here hugging my four kids and tearfully praising God for the blessing of Jacob Donato in my life." She says, "I got to sing and worship with him one last time, as we always did almost every Sunday morning, before we released him into his eternal praise." And here's why she closed that day. "God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good." And what I would say is, I just have no idea how you could get there unless you are daily investing in your relationship with God, unless you have a real relationship with him. If you're just being religious in what you're doing here in church, that's not going to help you much when you hit those dark valleys. It was his relationship with God that guided David to be able to write those words, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God, because I know that you are with me. See, David understood what each of us needs to understand. That when we get to the end of ourselves, there's God. When we get to the end of ourselves, there's God. And that's why you will find out very quickly whether or not you have a relationship with God that's abiding, and when you go through those dark valleys in your life. And I want us to close our service this morning a little differently, because some of you, I'm pretty sure, walked in with some burdens and you're feeling like you're in a valley and God seems not to be close. And you're going to have to just trust him and say, "God, I don't know that I necessarily feel you, but I know you're here.